Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Martha Lou Scott, Baylor's Associate Vice President for Student Life. Now in her 49th year at Baylor University, Dr. Scott began working in the Office of Women's Residence Halls 5 months before graduation in 1971. She's a beloved mentor and leader. She's cared for, disciplined, counseled, and inspired countless students to leadership in a variety of disciplines, and she's with us today on the program. Dr. Scott, it's great to have you here. Certainly someone that so many people appreciate here at Baylor, and glad we can visit with you today.
Thank you, Derek. That was very generous description of me. I appreciate that.
Well, that only scratches the surface. So we've got 23 minutes or so that we can delve into that a little bit. But I have you're probably more qualified to answer this question than anyone. I've heard people say working with college students keeps you young. Is that true? Have you found that to be the case?
I have found that to be the case, mainly because they keep you on your toes. Mm-hmm. You never know what they're going to come in and ask you about or tell you about. They bring such wonderful ideas to any discussion that you're going to have. They're looking for something new and innovative, something creative, so that rubs off on you as part of that. And they always ask why. It's not out of disrespect in any way. It's because they have a genuine desire. They want to know, why should we do this? Why should this matter in my life? It's only when I look in the mirror that I realize what is not like the others, and I'm the thing that is not like the others. I see my age in the mirror, but in working
with
students,
we're all our own worst critics on those things.
Oh, it's a reality.
No one would guess that you have been here that long, again, in your 49th year here at Baylor. So let's go back to really when that began. When you graduated, you had a job already in hand. At that point, graduating from Baylor, did you have an inkling that Baylor might be your life's calling at that point, or was that something that came further down the line?
I never had an inkling, and in all honesty, if I'd had any thought that that's what I might have in store for me in the future, I might have turned and run the other direction. But thankfully, the Lord prepares us along the way, and as doors opened, I accepted the opportunity and walked through those open doors.
What did your path from the Office of Women's Residence Halls onto student life look like?
The work that I actually started was in the Office of the Women's Residence Halls, and that is with Aline Bailey and Lois Pickering. I wish I could say I was strategic in making decisions about where I went and how I went from place to place, but that's not the reality. I always thought that I would be a teacher, so I was applying to work as a teacher here in the Waco area. At the same time, W.C. Perry, who was the first vice president for student life at Baylor, he was actually called the vice president for student affairs at that time, offered me a job. And it gave me that experience with only three of us in the office. Dean Perry, Virginia Crump, and I shared the same suite together. But we worked with everything from housing to health center. We were over the police department, the officer of one that Baylor had at that time. So many different experiences and exposure that it gave me a good grounding in what I was going to be doing later on. We even worked with rental property at that time. As I moved from that job, I started work with A.A. Hyden, who replaced Dean Perry. Dr. Hyden was gracious and let me take some of my vacation to work on a doctorate degree. I'd started a master's and completed it under Dean Perry, and then I started my doctorate under A.A. Hyden, who was the next vice president. At that point, I was a bit overqualified what I was doing as the assistant to the vice president, but it did give me the opportunity then to walk into a job that was directing off-campus programs. Mm-hmm. So as time went on, Bill Hillis was the one who, because of the work that I was doing, that was kind of a hangover from being in the vice president's office and a direct report to the vice president. I was able to then become the dean for student life. And that had different changes of departments and different program opportunities, but ultimately Deb Oliver was the one who made me the associate vice president. And thankfully, Kevin Jackson has allowed me to continue in that role.
visiting with Dr. Martha Lou Scott in that title, Associate Vice President for Student Life. Is that as all-encompassing as of a role as it sounds? What all falls under that umbrella?
A little bit of everything, because if the vice president is away from time to time, I do represent Kevin Jackson and the division. In my direct area of report, I work with some of the most incredible people on campus. I work with the areas of health center, counseling center, campus recreation, wellness, student conduct, all led by strong individuals who are quite capable professionally, individuals who come together and help as a group make some decisions about what we do. Oh, and I left out the care team in that grouping as well. But a part of what I do every day that I love so much is being an ombudsman to students. That means that I help students find the resources they need and solve problems that they have. A very fun part of what I get to do every day.
We talk a lot about Baylor as a caring campus community. What do those words, caring community, mean to you in terms of working to live those out with students?
For me, it means really treating others with respect and wanting what's best for them. I'll use conduct as an example because I think for some people, they view that area as a place that you have rules, you have someone who has broken those rules, and therefore you just throw the book at them. At Baylor, conduct has never been viewed that way. As we work with students, we try as much as possible to make these educational moments. We want them to know what didn't go right in this situation, how they can prevent that in the future. And obviously, as a part of that, there is that redemptive part. We want students to succeed, and we're going to do as much as we can and surround them in a way with resources so that they can be productive, so that they can accomplish the goals that they had when they came here. Another area that I would even point out that's just happened in the last couple of years is in the BARC, our recovery center, through the very generous gift from a particular donor. We now have an opportunity for those students who have had difficulties even before Baylor be surrounded in ways that help them be in an environment that is going to support them. They're going to be able to maintain their sobriety.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Martha Lou Scott. And Dr. Scott, so we've heard stories anecdotally over the years of the ways that you have personally served students through whether it's just a listening ear or helping them through a tough situation or encouraging them to lead and grow. Well, what are some of the most meaningful aspects of getting to work with students in any of those roles that you've just described? What means the most to you? What's been most meaningful to you about working with Baylor students here individually or collectively?
I have to say that the best work I do with colleagues. That team effort that we have for any student in whatever kind of situation it is. When we talk about approaching students' need, particularly in the group that we have, I really think that we have students at the most teachable moments. In student health and welfare, they're working in those areas where they've either come to the realization that what I really wanted most at Baylor, I'm not going to be able to do. I keep hitting this roadblock time and again. Or the university has stepped in and said, we regret that what you came here saying you wanted to do, the university is not going to allow you to do that. So we generally have students when they want our help, when they come to us and we're able to walk alongside them, trying to help them figure out if this door is closed, which doors are open to you, and how can you not only identify those, but how can you be successful once you get on that particular path?
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges and the joys of that idea of helping students find their calling? It's something that we talk about and you see professors doing it, but what's that like in practice when you've got a student that you know from your own experience, there's sometimes a better plan than even they know, certainly at the age of 19 or 20, but what's that look like?
A lot of it is just conversations back and forth, meeting, talking about what brings you success, connecting them with other resources on campus. Paul L. Foster has some of the most tremendous resources, and it's just a matter of a student showing up and connecting with the counselors over there. Sometimes it's more in-depth work that they need to do through the counseling center, but it's having those conversations with individuals who can not only identify what their gifts are, but then can ignite that fire so that they have a focus on where they want to go and how they're going to get there.
Visiting with Dr. Martha Lou Scott. And Dr. Scott, we've also heard, you know, you help students when they run into problems, but sometimes there are things that go beyond the, certainly beyond the campus walls. How are you able to help students in the past respond when they've dealt with a personal tragedy or a loss in their own life, or whether there's a disaster of some sort, like the hurricane a couple of years ago, Hurricane Harvey? Well, yeah. What does that look like?
There are a number of different approaches, but one of the simplest things that I've been able to do, or that the university's even allowed me to do, is something as simple as sending an email. Not even going back to Harvey, but going back to last week, students in Lee County, Alabama, with the hurricane going through there. Two of our students are from Lee County. So I wrote them a simple email, and all it said was, Baylor University cares about you. We are coming to you because we know you're in this affected area. I got an email the next morning from the parent of one of those students because she was so touched that we made contact with her daughter. And I thought it was an email. There's nothing simpler than that. But for that student who is here trying to study for tests and trying to carry on with life as a student, when everything about them says, I want to be at home and my family is in crisis, they need me there, I can't do anything, but at least I'd be there with them. Sometimes that connection that I'm able to make for the university is the thing that matters most to them. Then I would go to the other extreme for those individuals who face death, either the death of a student, which is quite honestly the ultimate hardship, or the death of a family member. And as soon as I began to realize there's no perfect thing that you say, you can't make things right again just by something you say, but you can be there and offer that ministry of presence. You can let someone know, I care about you, I'm willing to walk with you through this particular situation, and together with God's help, we're going to find a way. And then you do what we all do in student life. We pray a lot for guidance and to be able to do those things that we need to do for students.
Are there ways that you've seen grace and growth through some difficult times, whether it's in those walking with students through loss, or even as you talked about on the conduct side, sometimes students make a decision and they have to work through it. Are there ways in those moments that you've just seen, you know, grace really abound?
Yeah, because I think all of us are here helping students redirect behavior. Even those who are doing good work sometimes need to be reminded you can't do everything. You need to learn how to take some things off of your plate, no matter how gifted you are. So working with those individuals as well as taking some kind of corrective action. Again, it goes back to how can we build this network of resources around a student. And then, you know, reminding a student that sometimes we're going to say no, and that saying no expresses that care that we have for them, because we're able, through life experiences that they haven't quite had yet, to know that this isn't the best choice for them. The conversations that I know that I'm going to have with students, quite often, whether it is an appeal or whether it's talking to someone about calling, I know that that is one thing I do in a day's time. And so that causes me pause, because I know that ultimately for that individual, it is going to have an effect, the consequences that they might feel for the rest of their lives. So trying to help them understand This guidance is being provided because after Baylor, we want you to be able to do anything that you want to do. We want you to be a thriving member of your community. We want you to be a leader in your community. We want you to grow in your faith, and we want you to be better at the other things that you've chosen to do in life because you know how to apply your faith to what you do.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Martha Lou Scott, and I think you've already painted some of this picture, but when you talk about Baylor's Christian mission and infusing the work you do with students, you know, in what ways does it do so, and maybe how much do you have to draw on your own faith when you're dealing with students in those tough times? Because I would think that has to be something that, you know, would provide a strain as you're thinking about it. It is difficult even for you after doing it all these years to process sometimes.
A good bit of that comes in talking with colleagues. Mm-hmm. The difficult thing working with a student is I see a snippet. Anybody who works with a student just sees a snippet of who that individual is. So working with colleagues, one of the best things about the care team is we're able to get different bits of what's going on in their lives. A student can convince me of anything very, very easily, but it's when I talk to the hall director and see that the difficulty they tell me they're having in a class doesn't quite translate to the person that they see on a regular basis in the residence hall and the things that they might be doing there. So I think that talking with others gives us that better base of information to work with. Mm-hmm. And hopefully then that helps us provide better guidance to them.
Well, what about on the opposite side of things? A lot of students have talked about, maybe some of those same students that you've had to discipline sometimes have talked about how you've inspired them in a lot of ways to leadership and to do big things in their lives. Well, what does it mean to you to be able to see students go on and do some of those things that you're working to help them do? And in some cases, they've even become, I believe over the years, colleagues of your own here at Baylor.
Colleagues and then people who've told me what to do. There are a few regents out there as well as individuals at the President's Council. It's a very humbling experience. You see students with all of their potential when they're here. You see them lead out in different ways while they're here. You get a glimpse of their heart, but yet you know that you're seeing just a tip of the iceberg because they're still so very young and still being formed. So to see them in whatever capacity come back, you recognize that student. They look the same in the face, maybe not the rest of them physically, but they still look the same. They still have the same phrases that they used. They still have those passions that they had as students. But you see how now they're applying them in the roles that they have, and they genuinely are making a difference in this world or on this campus. Mm-hmm. But it's so humbling because a student from time to time, even some of the ones that you've disciplined, will write and say, as difficult as that is, I thank you because it made a difference in my life. Or they'll come by and visit and recall a conversation, which always scares me to death because I don't have a memory of 2 minutes. And so what I've begun to realize is it is not necessarily what I said in that moment or what I did. It is really what the Lord opened their ears to hear. We're all so selective in what we hear, but somehow or another, they took that away from that conversation. And I'm grateful for that.
That's great. Over 48 years here now, in your 49th year, what stands out most to you about Baylor students, the threads that kind of tie them through the generations that you've seen come through here?
Really, I think the thing that binds us all together is the love for Baylor, just plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. What about in ways that you've seen Baylor change and stay the same? Certainly, it's grown since you were a student. You know, I graduated in 2005 and have seen it grown substantially. Yeah. What are some of the ways you've seen it grow but also stay the same?
I never could understand what Robert Reed meant when he was always talking about change within the unchanging until I reached a certain age and realized how this university has changed. Just like you said, buildings, in 4 years, practically, we have a new student body every 4 years. The people who work here have changed. But the thing that has remained the same is the core, the values that we have. We are going to continue to educate men and women for worldwide leadership and service. We're going to continue to combine that academic excellence and Christian commitment within a caring community. That core is always going to be the same, and I pray that it will always be in the future.
How do you think it stayed that way? Not every college campus, campuses change, they grow, they move in different directions. Why do you think Baylor's been able to maintain that?
I think so many of the decisions that are made here are intentional decisions. Even in employment, we are intentional about who we bring in to work with us, and that means work with students. That's true at the lower levels of the university just as it is at the top of the university. And I think that that consistency is part of it. I think the fact that I am far from the longest employed individual at Baylor, so that continuity of individuals who have long service here has helped maintain that as well.
Visiting with Dr. Martha Lou Scott as we head into the final couple of moments and into the program. We think about some of what you've talked about. I think we can see some threads in this, but I'll ask you more specifically. When you think of every student who comes into contact with you, what do you hope that they take away from that experience?
Derek, in all honesty, this sounds a bit boastful, and I don't intend for it to be that way. But I would hope that they would know in whatever we did together, the student and I, that I had a genuine care for them, that I wanted what was best for them, that I do want to help, and I do want the experiences that we have together to take them to a better place, whatever that better place might be, because I do meet with a number of students who struggle. If you're a college student and haven't struggled, you're not really working very hard at this, and it takes a lot of work. So I'm complimented that I can work with them along the way.
Well, Dr. Scott, you've been able to influence a lot of them. I looked back as preparing for this show when they were honoring you for, I believe, your 45th year at Baylor, and they put it on social media. I found that old post. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with kind things to say. Even someone who said something along the lines of, yeah, she disciplined me, but she was right. But a lot of people who used words like kind, generous, amazing, life-changing, inspiring. So obviously they can paint that picture better than I can here. And I'd encourage people, if they want to see that, to look that up. Just if you Google Martha Lou Scott, 45 years, I think that'll pop up and you can see what other people have to say more than just us. So Dr. Scott, thank you so much. It's been great to visit with you on the program today and great to hear some of your stories from that perspective that most of us aren't able to have.
Thank you, Derek. That's very, very kind. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, it's been great to visit with you. Dr. Martha Lou Scott, our guest today on Baylor Connections, Baylor's Associate Vice President for Student Life. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes.